Well, as we've mentioned in our announcements, tomorrow night is our Bible Bowl night at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. And we are hosting tomorrow night's event. And it is over the three chapters in Daniel, chapter 7, 8, and 9. And so our kids have been working on those three chapters, memorizing those verses, and getting ready for the test that they're going to take tomorrow night. And I thought tonight we would spend some time in Daniel chapter 7 and just think about some of the things that are in this chapter as our kids get ready to take a test over this chapter, as well as over chapters 8 and 9. Now, one of the things about the book of Daniel is that it is divided into two parts. There is the historical section of the book of Daniel, which is chapters 1 through 6. And then there's the prophetic section of the book of Daniel, which is chapters 7 through 12. And so these last chapters of the book of Daniel are more difficult in that there's not a history story to relate to them. They are just visions that Daniel has in reference to the revelation that God has given him and the prophetic visions about the future and the interpretation of those visions as well. And that's what we have in Daniel chapter 7 as we think about God's predictions for the future. So Daniel chapter 7 begins in the first year of King Belteshazzar's rule. Now, King Belteshazzar was the last of the kings of Babylon before the Medes and the Persians took over. And history records that his rule began around 560 BC. And it ended in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel chapter 5, at that big feast that they had. And then the handwriting came out on the wall that said, "Meeny, meeny, tickle, you farson," right? And we talked about that last week. Last month, actually. And so, chapter 7 is going back in time. You see, the book of Daniel is not written in chronological order, necessarily. And so, chapter 7 would actually come before chapter 5, chronologically. So, as we look at chapter 7, remember that this takes place at the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And let's read verses 1 through 14 to begin with. So Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 1. "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, 'I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the 10 horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, and its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Well, let's talk about this vision for just a moment. Let's just try to get our mind around the facts of the vision, verses 1 through 14. First of all, there's the scene of the beasts. And the four winds of the heavens stirred up the sea. The number four in apocalyptic literature often refers to the earth. And so this is something that's going to transpire on the earth. So from these four winds arose four beasts out of the sea. There was the lion-like beast. And it had eagle's wings. And the wings were plucked off of it. And it was placed on the earth. And then it stood up like a man. And it was given a man's heart or a man's mind. The second beast was the bear. And it was raised up on one side, like it was kind of leaning down, but it had three ribs in its mouth. And it was told to arise and to devour much flesh. The third beast was the leopard. And the leopard had four wings. And it also had four heads. And then the fourth beast was not described as similar to some animal, other than the fact that it had great iron teeth, and it was a devouring beast, and it broke everything in pieces. It stomped whatever was left into dust, and it was different from all the other beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns, and then another little horn from among these 10 horns popped up, and the little horn plucked out 3 of the other horns. And it had eyes like a man. And it had a mouth that spoke great swelling words or great things or pompous words or something to that effect. And then in verses 9 through 14, we have the scene of judgment. It says that the thrones were placed. They were put in place. And then the Ancient of Days sat down. He's described as follows. His garment was white as snow. His hair was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. And he had wheels on his throne. And they were burning as well. And then a fiery stream issued forth from him, like maybe like lightning or something like that coming out of the throne. It says that 1,000,000 served him. That is 1,000,000. 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000, right? And that 100,000,000 stood before him. That's 10,000 times 10,000. That's a lot of servants. And then the judgment was set. And the books were opened. Now, as that's happening, Daniel's attention is diverted back to the fourth beast, because of the great swelling words that are coming forth from his mouth. So evidently this fourth beast is still talking during all of this other that he's seeing here. And especially from this 11th horn that's on this fourth beast, right? The 11th horn is the one that's doing the talking. And then what happens? This beast was slain, its body was destroyed, and it was given to the burning flame. Now the rest of the beasts had their dominion taken away, verse 12. But their lives evidently were prolonged for a period of time. Or maybe the consequences of their lives were prolonged for a period of time. Verse 12 also. And then in verses 13 and 14 you have the scene of the coming of the Son of Man. He came with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. He was brought before the throne. And he was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Those three things. Dominion, glory, and a kingdom. And this was done so that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And then it says about his dominion that it is an everlasting dominion. His is a dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom will not be destroyed. So that's the vision as Daniel gives it. But let's now look at the interpretation of this vision. And this is in verses 15 through 28. So read these verses with me, if you would, in your Bibles that you have with you. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four kings, which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. And the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, namely, that horn which had eyes and a mouth, which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand, for a time and times and a half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. So let's talk about the unveiling of this vision. First of all, Daniel was grieved. He was troubled with the vision. He didn't understand what it meant. And he approached one that was standing in his vision to ask him the truth of these things. And so he told Daniel the interpretation. In verses 17 and 18 are a summary of the entire interpretation, and verses 19 through 27 are the details, okay? So that's something that we need to understand. 17 and 18 are just the summary. There's the great beast, which are four kings, and the saints of the Most High receive the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And that's basically what's going on here in this whole chapter. In fact, verses 17 and 18 summarize the whole chapter of what's going on here. Now, as we continue looking, though, we note that Daniel wanted to know more about this 11th horn. The horn before whom three others fell. The horn that had eyes. The horn that spoke great things. That was greater than its peers. That made war against the saints until the Ancient of Days came. And so the other one explains about this horn. He says, the fourth beast is the fourth kingdom, and it's different from all the other kingdoms. The ten horns are ten kings that are coming out of this kingdom. And the 11th horn is also a king. He will put down three of the previous kings, and then he will speak words against the Most High. He's going to wear out the saints, and he shall think to change times and laws. But the saints would be given into his hand for 3.5 times. The judgment, however, will stand, and those on the judgment board will take away his dominion. And that dominion will be consumed and destroyed. And the kingdom and dominion be given to the saints, and this will be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions will serve and obey him, that is, the king of the kingdom. So what does all this mean? Well, let's talk about the interpretation of it for just a moment. Well, first of all, the four beasts are four kingdoms. And given the other prophecies in the book of Daniel, I don't think that this prophecy diverges very much from the other prophecies in the book of Daniel. Given that, the first kingdom is Babylon. Babylon is always depicted with a winged lion in ancient history. And so this seems to be an obvious reference to the Babylonians and their kingdom. The Lion of Babylon was a mural that was painted on their processional way. And lions can be found all over Iraq, even today. The lion's wings, though, were plucked. They were taken off. And so this kingdom was limited. The lion stood up, and it was given a man's heart. And the heart here, or the mind here, indicates intelligence or information. And of course, Daniel is the one that's in that kingdom, receiving this information from God. And so the fact that it has information seems to indicate the prophecies of Daniel and Ezekiel in this particular time. Now remember that this prophecy is looking at things from heaven's perspective, not from an earthly perspective. So to have a man's heart or to have intelligence is information from heaven. So that's the first beast. The second beast is the Medes and the Persians. And they're symbolized by a great bear. And the bear was a symbol of destruction in that day and age. And it was told to devour much flesh. Of course, the Medes and the Persians, they conquered everyone around them, and they conquered all the way to the Indus River, which is in India. And so that's a lot of territory. They devoured much flesh, the Medes and the Persians. The third beast was a leopard, and it symbolizes the Greeks, and the kingdom specifically of Alexander the Great. Now you notice that this leopard had four heads. And that's because Alexander the Great died very soon after he conquered the world. And so his kingdom was divided up to four generals: Ptolemy, Seleucus, Lysimachus, and Cassander. And each one of them took four different pieces of this kingdom. So a four-headed leopard, very fast in conquering, but then ruled by four different kings. And then the final great beast is the Roman Empire. And this is the one that troubled Daniel the most. Rome is the kingdom that came after Greece. It devoured the earth, it tread it down, it stomped it into pieces. Everyone submitted to Rome, and they just trampled everyone. Rome was different from all the other kingdoms because it didn't start with a kingdom. It started with a republic, and it evolved into an empire. So you see, Rome is a different kind of beast than the other beasts. But nevertheless, after it evolved, it developed 10 horns. And the 10 horns, that is the number 10, are the 10 kings. Well, who are these kings? Well, I'm going to name them for you. Sulla ruled in 81 B.C. Then you have Julius Caesar, 48 to 44 B.C. And then Augustus, from 31 to 14 B.C. And then Tiberius, from 14 A.D. to 37 A.D. And then you have Caligula, 37 to 41. And then you have Claudius, 41 to 54. Then you have Nero, from 54 to 68. Then you have Galba, from 68 to 69. You have Otho, from 69, or from January of 69 to April of 69. He didn't rule very long. And then you have Vitellius, who ruled from April of 69 to December of 69. You say, well, why didn't those guys rule very long there at the end? Galba, Otho, and Vitellius. Because they were all uprooted by who was going to come next. And that is the Flavian dynasty. And that's the 11th horn, if you will. Now, the Flavian dynasty had three rulers in it. There was Vespasian, who ruled from 69 to 79. There was Titus, from 79 to 81. And then there was Domitian, from 81 to 96. And so out of all of them, Domitian had the greatest rule. And so I think that the 11th horn refers to the Flavian dynasty. Now these horns, or this 11th horn, overthrew three of the previous horns. And that's what happened exactly in history. The Flavian dynasty overthrew Galba, Otho, and Vitellius. Overthrew that dynasty, okay? And so, you remember Titus was the one who destroyed Jerusalem. And then he came back to rule, but he didn't rule for very long, only until about 79 A.D. And then Domitian began ruling, and he was the one who brought great persecution against the Christians in his time. So I believe that that's what the 10 horns, or the 11 horns, are referring to. Now, it's during this fourth beast reign that the seat of judgment is God's, the seat of judgment here comes into play. And that is God's continued rule over the earth. The Ancient of Days, that's God. He has garments as white as snow, symbolizing His purity and His holiness. His hair of head is like pure wool, again, letting us know that He's holy and pure. His throne is like a fiery flame. It's awesome. You can't stand in His presence. It issues a fiery stream, and this is His unmovable judgments. You can't challenge that throne because you'll be devoured for coming close to it. There's millions that minister to Him and 100 million that are ministering to Him. And then the books were open and we have the beginning of judgment here upon these beasts that are upon the earth. The last horn spoke great words against God. And it's documented that the Flavian dynasty, they believed that they themselves were gods. And in fact, Domitian greatly propagated or spread the emperor cult in his day and time and forced everyone to worship the emperor as God. And so if you wouldn't take a little incense and burn it over fire once a year and say the words, Lord Caesar, they would put you to death because you didn't worship the emperor. And so this last dynasty spoke great swelling words, pompous words, prideful words, because they claimed to be divine. Well, then we have the coming of the Son of Man. And this is Jesus the Messiah. Jesus uses this expression, Son of Man, more than any other expression to describe Himself. 29 times in Matthew, 14 in Mark, 26 in Luke, and 13 in the book of John. And as we think about Him coming with clouds, clouds conceal. So there's great mystery that surrounds Jesus' coming. it wasn't the same kind of coming that a normal king would come in, because normal kings would come with great pomp, you know, and circumstance, and people would know they were coming. But this Jesus comes with the clouds here, meaning that there's secrecy around his coming. Now, Paul references that in 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8 when he says, "But we speak the mystery of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And so there was a reason for this mystery and for his coming with the cloud. Now, he came to the Ancient of Days. And that's exactly what happens after Jesus is resurrected and he ascends up into heaven. He appears before the throne of the Father. And that's recorded in Revelation 5 and verses 11 through 14. And let's read that. "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." Does that sound familiar? That's a reference to the book of Daniel. John is saying in the book of Revelation that the book of Daniel is being fulfilled in Revelation 5. That's important to know, okay? "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever." And so Revelation 5, 11 through 14 is a fulfillment of Daniel chapter 7. All right? And that's an important thing to understand, because Daniel is prophesying about the coming of the Messiah and his reign and his rule in his kingdom. Now, this Messiah came to the Ancient of Days, and he was given authority and dominion and power. He was given dominion. Notice Revelation 19 and verse 16. "And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now that's dominion over all others. He's given glory. And in John chapter 13 and verses 31 and 32, look what Jesus says regarding the glory. You know, I had not put this together until this study. But Jesus is claiming a fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7 in John chapter 13. Now look what he says in John chapter 13 and verses 31 through 32. "And so when he," that is Judas, "had gone out, Jesus said," listen to what he says here, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately." Now, Jesus is talking about his glorification that's going to happen very soon. That is, when he's risen from the dead, he's going to be glorified. He's going to be glorified humanity, okay, after he's raised from the dead. And that's what Daniel says, that the Son of Man was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. And so Jesus is saying in John chapter 13 and verses 31 and 32 that the prophecy of Daniel is about to be fulfilled because I'm about to be glorified. But he's also given a kingdom. And of course, the kingdom is the church. In Colossians 1:13 it says, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us," or put us, "into the kingdom of his dear Son." And so Jesus has a kingdom, and we're part of that kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." And so Jesus has a kingdom, and we're in it today. And all the peoples, nations, and languages serve this kingdom. Revelation 5 verses 9 and 10 says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed unto God by thy blood, people out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and one that will never be destroyed. Now Jesus claimed that kingdom that would never be destroyed in John chapter 18, verse 36, when he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered. But now my kingdom is not from here." And in Luke 17, verses 20 and 21, he says, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And so Daniel's prophecies have been fulfilled. Daniel chapter 7 is a prophecy about Jesus and his coming to the Ancient of Days, his ruling and reigning upon the earth right now, and his kingdom, the church, reigning and having dominion forever and ever. And it's never going to be destroyed. And we talked about that a little bit in Bible class this morning, how that all the kingdoms of the earth are ruled with a rod of iron, which means that they come and they go. But the kingdom of God is going to be around forever, and it's never going away. And we can be very grateful and thankful for that today. And that is God's kingdom today. Now, don't you want to be a part of that kingdom? Don't you want to be part of that great nation? Don't you want to be part of the body of Christ, this wonderful place where Jesus is king and that he rules forever and ever? All the other kingdoms are going away. All the other nations are going to perish, and they're not going to be anymore. But God's kingdom will stand forever. Why not become a child of God this very hour by being baptized and experiencing the new birth and being put into the kingdom of God? You can do that. If you need prayers of the church as well, now is a good time to petition our King for aid, because we have a King who loves us and cares about us and wants to help us. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, so you can be assured that he has the power of God behind him to do what needs to be done to help you in your daily life and your struggle and the things that you go through each and every day. So why not call upon him? And do so while together we stand and sing.